The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against such things. And those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its passions and desires. If we live by the Spirit, let us also be guided by the Spirit. The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please pray with me. God, I pray that the words of my mouth and the meditations of all your people's hearts would be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer. Amen. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, as I was introducing this series on the fruit of the Spirit, that Paul contrasts the fruit of the Spirit with the acts of the sinful nature. Or as my sweet Junia envisioned it, it is the fruit of the Spirit versus the veggies of the devil. Take a look. I think there are more veggies of the devil than there are fruit of the Spirit in this picture. But there are many more fruit of the Spirit than just the nine that Paul mentions here. Paul highlights the difference between what the Spirit produces and what human nature does. Fruit of the Spirit, veggies of the devil. And for any kids watching this at home, veggies do come from God, so you still need to eat them. There's the interpreter who says the fruit of the Spirit is the natural product of the Christian's relationship with the Spirit. And so it issues forth spontaneously in the Christian's behavior. So we saw that fruit of the Spirit means the fruit that comes from the Spirit, the fruit that the Spirit has and gives you to bear. This is the fruit that the Spirit produces in you, not fruit that I produce or that you produce or that even all of us with our collective efforts on our own can produce. It's the Holy Spirit that produces the fruit. And if we remain in Jesus, we will bear the fruit of the Spirit. The source of the fruit, the one who produces it, is the Holy Spirit. And this is especially freeing when it comes to the second fruit of the Spirit, which is joy. Joy, as the Bible describes it, is not limited by your circumstance. Joy does not depend on your mood or how much sleep you got last night or how hungry you are or how people around you are treating you or how you're doing. You can be joyful even when things are not going well. James says it in the first chapter of his book. He says, "Consider it pure joy, brothers and sisters, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Pure joy when you face trials, because you know that the testing of your faith develops perseverance." And he says, "Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything." Joy is not really about happiness. Joy is about rejoicing. Rejoice, James says, even when you're in the midst of trials. James wrote, as he says, to the 12 tribes scattered among the nations. This was a people whose identity was tied to the land, and they were scattered all over the place. They were uprooted. They were ridiculed. They were oppressed. They were marginalized. They were not at home. They weren't settled. And James tells them to count their trials as pure joy. He says to rejoice. Why? Because God can use your biggest test as an opportunity to grow you. God can take your time in the fiery furnace and pull you out of it so that you come forth as gold. God can take the worst that somebody could throw at you and conform you even more into the image of Christ. So, James says, because of that, because of what God can do through your trials, therefore rejoice. Have joy, even in trials. Before we go on, I want to invite you to take 2 minutes to consider these questions. How do you respond to James's call to consider it pure joy whenever you face trials of many kinds? What do you think about that? And then the second question, what trial or trials are you in the middle of right now that God might be using to shape you? Hebrews says, no discipline seems pleasant at the time, but painful. Later on, however, it produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. No discipline seems pleasant at the time. The word pleasant here is the same word that James uses for joy. Listen to how the King James puts it. Now, no chastening for the present seemeth to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. Fruit, there's that word again. Friends, the working of the Holy Spirit can bring us into righteousness and peace, even if at the time God's work in us is painful. Yes, Hebrews says, what you're going through may not feel like cause for rejoicing, but we can rejoice in knowing that God grows us even through hardship. What a relief. God grows us even through hardship. That's like the light at the end of the tunnel. Let me give you 2 more minutes to think about one more question. What hardship can you look back on and say, God used that time to grow me and draw me closer? There's a sense in which joy is a choice. James is saying, choose to reframe your trials as pure joy because of what God is doing right now. Yes, what's on the other end of it, but even right now, consider it pure joy and rejoice in what God can do with you and through you when you face difficult times. Not that we deny any pain that we might be in, not that we ever would tell someone just to get over it or that we would want to hear that. We are called to weep with those who weep. Scripture models lament for us as an appropriate response to tragedy. And James calls us to choose joy, the second fruit of the Spirit that Paul talks about. Maria Popova is a writer who's got a great website called Brain Pickings, and she talks about choosing joy. Here's what she says. Choose joy. Choose it like a child chooses the shoe to put on the right foot, the crayon to paint a sky. Choose it at first consciously, effortfully, pressing against the weight of a world heavy with reasons for sorrow, restless with need for action. Feel the sorrow. Take the action. But keep pressing the weight of joy against it all, until it becomes mindless, automated, like gravity pulling the stream down its course, until it becomes an inner law of nature. And when you can't choose joy, when it just becomes too hard for whatever reason, you cannot choose joy, that's when we need to go back to Jesus. To pray, come, Holy Spirit, to go running to God the Father like we would when a child skins their knee, and needs comfort and help. The best pathway I know of to joy is worship, especially when the joy just isn't coming, even though you're trying to practice it, even though you are trying to consider it pure joy. If that's the case, then worship. Give God thanks for who He is. Offer your worship to God through reading scripture and through praying alone and with others. Going outside and just looking around and paying attention is a great way to praise God too. The sunset last night in Magnolia was stunning. I haven't seen Shore Road populated like that in a really long time. So go outside to worship. The way to joy is worship. Sing your favorite hymn. Sing all the worship songs you can think of. We've been so blessed to have Brian's worship leadership, a boatload of worship songs that you could queue up on YouTube and praise God to. In fact, let's do that right now. Let's choose joy right now through worship as we worship together in song.